Mr. Karp?
Yes, sir.
You're on.
May it please the court, my name is David Karp, and I am counsel for the appellant, Bertrand Edwards. The issue in this case is whether or not the search that the police conducted of an automobile fell into an exception to the warrant requirement. As the court knows, there is an exception under Arizona versus Gantz when the occupant of the car is arrested upon probable cause, and the person is either within reaching distance of the car during the search, or the police have reason to believe that they will find evidence of the crime of arrest in the car. In this case, the crime of arrest was for operating while under the influence, a civil offense in this country, for which the state has a lesser interest than for crimes which must be balanced against Mr. Edwards' right to privacy. I would note that in the Scalia concurrence in Gantz,
I don't understand. The officer smelled marijuana. Did he need anything else in order to arrest the fellow, your client?
Well, except for the fact that the officer noted it was stale, which meant that it was not a recent odor. So, and it wasn't Mr. Edwards' car. So, I mean, we've all been in cars of smokers. And we're not smokers ourselves, and there's a stale odor in them.
But it was more than that, because he looked at Edwards' eyes. They were bloodshot. His pupils were dilated. His speech was slow and mumbled. His response to questions was delayed. And then he also detected the odor. So there was more to it than just the odor, right?
Yes, but I'm not conceding that Mr. Edwards was under the influence, but even if he was, the officer did not have probable cause to that Mr. Edwards was operating the vehicle while he was.
Well, I don't understand. Well, first of all, to your previous point, someone else might be in the car smoking marijuana. There's nobody else in the car.
No, there's nobody else in the car, but the odor is old, and also the so-called shake is on the passenger side floorboard, I believe.
And the engine was still warm.
The engine was still warm, but not hot. Mr. Edwards said he had been there for 10 minutes, which he was napping when the officer approached him. The engine wasn't running. And Mr. Edwards was not touching any of the controls of the car, so he wasn't operating when the officer encountered him. But even if Mr. Edwards were under the influence, he wasn't operating under the influence. So it was the officer lacked probable cause.
But the officer had gotten a report about the green blazer driving off without paying for gas,
mm-hmm.
and he had information with the license plates and a description, and he located that blazer with a black man in it. I don't know. Was it clear that the license plates were the same when he got the blazer?
Yeah, I think I recognize this as being Judge Williams.
Yes.
Yes, that is true, Your Honor. But the officer didn't arrest Mr. Edwards for the gas drive-off.
Right, but wasn't that probable cause to even stop him to investigate that crime, driving off without paying for the gas?
Well, I'm not saying that the officer was incorrect to contact Mr. Edwards. It's not the initial contact I'm trying. Mr. Edwards was parked at a roadside area. There's nobody out there. The car fit the basic description. The officer did not have very good information about where the tip came from that this was a vehicle involved in a gas drive-off. In fact, Judge...
But when you add everything together, there's plenty for an arrest.
Well, I don't know that you can Jack saw the gas drive-off into probable cause for OWI. It seems to me that the gas drive-off information is good reason for the officer to contact.
Right, to stop him and to question him. And he observes all these things about him, his eyes and all those things I went over before. I don't have to repeat that, plus the stale odor.
But, again, we don't have there's a totality of the circumstances to do not indicate that Mr. Edwards was operating. He was not operating when the officer saw him. I'm sure he had to get there, but he'd been there for some time. And the totality of circumstances indicate, in fact, that Mr. Edwards had been there. He was napping. The officer had aroused him. There was no report of any bad driving while he was on his way there. I don't concede that there was probable cause that Mr. Edwards was under the influence of a controlled substance. He was tired. He said he'd been tired. He seemed relaxed, cooperative. He speaks with an accent. He's from the West Indies. He maybe has a more relaxed attitude than a lot of people. But I don't think the evidence is very strong, even that he was highly impaired.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Karp. Mr. O'Shea?
Good morning. Tim O'Shea for the United States. I will just address some of Mr. Karp's arguments here. I'll address some of the facts that further support, other than the ones the court has already mentioned, that support the idea that there was probable cause to search the vehicle for two different crimes: possession of marijuana, because the officer actually saw marijuana in there. That's a pretty good clue that there's marijuana in the car. And also for operating a motor vehicle while under the influence. The car, I would note, was also, in addition to the facts the court has already noted, the car was kind of parked oddly. The defendant performed very poorly, I think there's no dispute about this, on the field sobriety tests, but the breath test showed that he was not under the influence of alcohol. So he's under the influence of something. The officer sees marijuana. So it was rational to conclude that this person's under the influence of marijuana or some other drug. Now, Mr. Karp says, well, you know, ollie, ollie, oxen free, the car is off. You know, you can't get me for driving under the influence. Well, that's like saying a bank robber who's three blocks away from the bank says, well, you didn't catch me robbing a bank, so I must be okay. Well, that's silly. If there's evidence that shows that the person had committed this crime, this offense, driving under the influence, then the officer's perfectly okay to continue to investigate that, including investigating the car. So that's about it. Unless there are further questions, that's all for the United States.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. O'Shea. Mr. Karp, do you have anything further?
Just briefly, Your Honor, I don't think that the government can rely on probable cause for possession of marijuana. The way I reread Gantt last night, and the way I'm reading it, the main opinion does not hold that it can be a crime other than what the officer arrested the person for to search for evidence of the crime. The concurrence by Justice Scalia does say that, but that doesn't seem to be the problem, the position of the court. As for the parking, he was Mr. Edwards' vehicle.
No, if you arrest a person for being under the influence of marijuana and you search his car for marijuana, and in the course of it you find, you know, evidence of counterfeiting, of course you're entitled to seize that contraband. That's plain view, right?
I agree, yes. That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say, although probable cause for arrest can be justified on an alternate theory, one other than what the officer stated was the crime for which he was arresting Mr. Edwards, that under Gantt, it has to be that the police are searching for evidence of the crime of arrest. That's all I'm trying to say there.
Yeah, well, if they're looking for marijuana and find other contraband, they can seize the other contraband.
Well, again, my point is that I don't think they had probable cause to show that Mr. Edwards was driving while he was under the influence. The fact that he was parked
It doesn't matter. I mean, what Mr. O'Shea said, there's certainly evidence that he had been driving under the influence in order to get to the place where he parked. Therefore, he could be arrested for that.
Well, with all due respect, I think the record is lacking.
This is hopeless. Yeah, but,
all right.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Carr.
Thank you very much for allowing me to appear by phone, Your Honor.
Thank you. And thank you to Mr. O'Shea.